Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, I want to come to you today and bring a teaching. First, I got to tell you a story. We're out in the world preaching Christ crucified, full-time van dwellers, as you know, anybody who follows us. And today, it's really windy again, and there's no good place to really do the audio. I'm inside. I got to talk loud. I have a big voice, and people always are disrupted. And then we go outside, and the wind is like 20 miles an hour, really windy. Well, we went to go walk through the town. We like to do that. We walk and witness, it's called. And I found this, I'm going to put a picture of it, a caboose. It's a caboose they have parked in town, an old train caboose. And I found a spot on the back of the caboose where I'm going to stand and do this audio. So as you're listening to this audio, picture me standing on the back of an old train caboose blocked from the wind so I can share this audio with you. Okay, so today we're going to talk about saved. What it means. I got saved. What does it really mean? I think this is really important. I've talked about this a lot. I think I need an actual audio on it. A saint asked about it. We run into this all the time in the streets. Let's talk about the term, I got saved, and then we're going to use God's word, as always, to understand it biblically and to find out, is it proper to say that? I got saved, and then seek understanding about what biblical salvation really means. All right, let's get right at it. Welcome, by the way, saints and seekers, if you're joining me. Now, often what man-made religion has tells you about, you get saved, you got saved, you are saved, is wrong according to God's word. I'm here to testify to that. Doing this ministry for all these years, it's wrong. They are deceiving people. So we're going to go to the word of God. We're going to look up this word saved in the New Testament scriptures. First, we're going to do a quick word study, then we'll go into some scripture. So the word saved appears about 116 times in the New Testament, roughly, give or take. And about 80 of those times, it is directly referencing salvation. So other times, it uses the word a little bit differently. We'll talk about it. I'll give you an example. Now, the different way it's used is also important. I'll show you in context an example of how it can be used and not mean what they say it means. Saved eternally, no matter what. That's really what this is all about. Once saved, always saved, refuted. I got tons of articles on that at DontParish.com and at the teaching blog. Let me give you a scripture verse that uses the example of the word saved. 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right, so in this reference, that word saved in that verse I just read, 1 Timothy 1:15, the word in the Greek is sozo. Here's what it means. It means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, keep safe, sound, rescue from danger or destruction, save from suffering, from a disease, to make well, to heal, to restore, to preserve who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue, to save from evil. So it's got a bunch of different references that are both eternal and more temporal. So basically, to be saved is to be rescued from a danger. Let's just round it out, right? So in this case, we want to focus on the danger being the wrath of God due to sin, the wrath of God, which is hell, due to sin. And then versus being saved to eternal life in Christ. So the word saved here, our focus is going to be, what are we saved from? We're saved from our sin, wrath, and hell to eternal life in Christ Jesus. So how does this happen? Do we say, I got saved when I was 10. I raised my hand, said a prayer at youth camp. Is that how it happens? No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Is it a one-time act where you call out and you're saved? Or is it a covenant walk in Christ driven by faith in his perfect work and then obedience and holiness as we strive enduring on the road to salvation? Which one makes more sense? It's a one-time act or it's something that we are walking in? Ponder that as we go through this. Now the gospel, good news it means, will unlock this truth for us, and it teaches us that Christ came into the world, to save sinners, there's that word, save, to show us God's kingdom, who God was, to live a perfect life, to shed his blood and die, then he rises again and he becomes our salvation. We'll get to that. I think a word here you'll really appreciate. Then Christ invites us into the kingdom of God to follow him. And he then saves us, rescues us from our sin, redeems us in God, right? Almost everybody would agree with that I know in Christendom. And this perfectly fits that definition of the word saved. He saves us from, he protects us, he delivers us, but it's not a one-time act of, you got saved, then no matter what you did in your life, you're still saved. No. It's an ongoing New Testament covenant walk. Let's talk about our salvation. Let's give the Lord some glory here. Ready? The word Yeshua, that is the Hebrew word for Christ. You know what it means? It means salvation. Isn't that awesome? His very name means salvation. So to be saved, you must be in him and of him, as he is the only way to the Father. John 14:6. Now this comes via the gospel. I preach it every time we go out. Faith in his finished, perfect work I just talked about, death, burial, resurrection. Repentance, change your mind, change your ways. Come out of the world, come out of churchianity, come out of your flesh, come out of the culture. God sees a willing vessel. Acts 5, he gives the Spirit to those who obey him. You have new life, you're born again. The fruit that you're on the road to salvation, that you've been saved by the blood of Christ, is endurance and obedience, holiness. That's how we gain the kingdom and eternal life through everything Christ has done. We'll be getting back to that, especially the endurance, because that's really key. So the main issue with those who say, I was saved on this date, or I got saved at camp, or I got saved when I was baptized, again, their flaw is they think it's a one-time act that seals you into heaven no matter what you do in the future. That's just a lie. That's an absolute lie. Not one Bible verse teaches that. What the Bible teaches in many verses is it's an ongoing walk in the one who does save us, Christ, our salvation. In Ephesians, it talks about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've got teachings on that at the teaching blog, don'tperish.com. All that means is it's an earnest. It's a down payment that God gives us for a deal that's yet to be finished when we endure to the end. You ever buy a house or a car? You put money down to hold it? That deal's not done. It's not guaranteed. You could lose that money if you don't come up with the rest of the money. Yeah, earnest. Look up that teaching. Look up Once Saved, Always Saved on my teaching blog, and you'll find it there. So it's not a one-time deal. It is an ongoing walk in the gospel, in Christ, who is our salvation. As I said, and I'll say it a bunch of times here, salvation and saying, I'm saved, I got saved, is wrong if you have the mindset it's a one-time event. You say it a prayer, you raised your hand, you think you really committed one time. Maybe you quit drinking, but you didn't quit all your other sin. And you go, I got saved that time when I quit drinking. Really, you need to test yourself. It's not a one-time act. It's not giving up one or two sins. It's not a church service or some religious activity. It's a striving process in the gospel, in Christ who saves us, as we grow deeper on the way. Knowing him makes us stronger, conforms us to his image. And you can turn away from it. You can lose it. I'm going to prove it to you. I think a good way to look at it is salvation while you're on earth is not a static place, but an ongoing way. It's the narrow, straight path. Luke 13, Jesus said, strive on it. Many will try and they can't make it. This proves it's a striving, not a one-time thing. And we get there through a saving faith, the grace of God, but it's not alone. We'll talk about that too. It's followed up by fruit of our tree, which is holiness, obedience, and endurance. Now, here's a key point when we talk about I got saved. So many neglect that we are in a covenant, right? They think, oh, Jesus did it all. It's done. I just believe and I'm guaranteed. That's not true. A covenant, the new covenant, Matthew 26, his blood covenant. It's a willful agreement of two parties. A covenant is something we must keep and walk in daily with him, our salvation, Yeshua, Jesus. And the fruit that we're doing that is we know him, we obey him, we endure in him, we love him. It's not a set place where you just like say one time back in the past that happened and you're not walking forward in him, striving in him, spirit and truth worship of him, John 4:24. No, it's an ongoing thing. Why? We're not in eternity yet. Exactly. So you must be walking in this salvation. People often like to quote Jesus when he said, "It is finished." What a glorious three words. But you know what? That was his work he finished. Perfect work for the Father. Did everything the Father required. Guess what? Our daily work goes on. Ephesians 2:10 says we're created for good works. Right after it says you're saved by grace through faith. But you're not saved by grace through faith alone. It's never alone. It's followed by holiness, obedience, and endurance as fruit you know him. So his work is done. Ours is not. That's why Jesus said strive. And Paul and Peter and John say other things. We're going to read that. So the example I like to use to help people, this teaching could go all over the map, and it kind of is, because it's such a broad topic. But the example I like to use is this. Noah, a great preacher of righteousness. He had to have faith, right? God saw his faith, saw he was righteous because of his faith. What else did Noah have to do? Noah had to build an ark. He had to have faith. Then he had to prove his faith by building the ark. And then what did he have to do? He had to obey God and endure to the end and get in the ark, and God sealed him up. He didn't work for his salvation. His faith made the way for the works that proved his salvation. Do you see what I'm saying? If Noah would have said, "I'm out of here, I'm not building an ark, but I still believe in you, God," he would have perished in the flood. You can't separate faith and works, can you? I don't think you can. If you love your spouse, are you faithful to them? If you run around and cheat on them, are you really honoring your covenant in marriage, and do you really love them? No. It's another example of faith and works working together. You got married on one day, you're going to strive in it and continue. We're going to talk about that right here. I think marriage is the best example we have, one of the best. So you go and you get married on a Saturday, February 10th, I don't know, 1987, whatever. It doesn't guarantee your marriage is set for life, does it? Who would say that? Who tells somebody, "Yeah, get married and don't worry about your marriage or obedience or love or honoring or faithfulness. Ah, you're married." Nobody says that. People say, "Be the best husband or wife you can be." Each partner has a part in the covenant of marriage. It's a mirror image of God's covenant with us via Christ. We're in a blood covenant. Read about that in Matthew 26. We're not just saved one time and then walking any way we want, or saved one time, give up a few sins, but we're still pretty worldly and fleshly. No, it's a covenant we're walking in holiness and obedience. We are the bride of Christ. He's our bridegroom. If you're married, you can relate to that. Jesus said in Mark 2:19, "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." So Jesus is talking about he's still with them. The people were asking why your disciples don't fast. So question, if you're married or if you ever want to be married, how faithful do you want your spouse to be to you? In turn, how faithful are you to God every day? In the small things, big things, medium things, weightier things? Yeah, that is our example of walking in a covenant, honoring God, loving God. Prove that we have a saving faith is we love him and obey him and we keep his commandments, right? 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So think about marriage. What kind of marriage do you want? What kind of faith do you want for God? You're not saved one time and then it's a done deal. It's something you walk in. It's a glorious covenant. Other examples I like to use. We talked about Noah. Christ is our ark, right? We get in him, he floats us above the wrath of God. Or Christ is our umbrella. It's pouring down the wrath of God. He shelters us from the wrath of God. How? Just magically, if we just believe one day? No. If we're in the ark through obedience, if we're under the umbrella through obedience, that would be obeying the word of God. And our saving faith is shown. Our love for him is shown. Our holiness is shown. And our endurance is shown. As we abide in him, or we will be cut off. Let me give you Jesus' words. John 15. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch, you cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. If any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Very clear. You want to be in Jesus, got to be in his word, got to be obeying his word. producing fruit. John 15 is all about that. You can't just be in Jesus, say I got saved one time, and live a churchianity life, a worldly life, a carnal life, a pride and vanity life, an unbiblical life. Can't do it. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's the great command? Matthew 22, to love God with all that you are. Are you loving God as you don't try to keep all of his ways? Whether it's how you talk, act, dress, spend your money, what you preach, who you associate with. You reject the culture, don't reject the culture. Ponder that. Very, very important stuff. And the question I would have is, if you're abiding in Christ and his word, can you live in worldliness, sinfulness, pride, vanity, false religion, pagan holidays for many years as you ignore the word and the Spirit's call to repent, obey, be holy? Can you claim that you were saved one time in the past and you still have this salvation when Christ is our salvation, but you're not really clinging to him in his word and ways? No, you can't. Neither could I all those years before I relented and totally surrendered to Christ. So we're only saved by abiding in Christ, not works, via the Spirit. But those things, the Spirit and the Word and our faith, bring us holiness, obedience, and endurance. Then we walk in truth, John 4:24, and holiness. The Bible says, without such, no one will see God, Hebrews 12:14. So you got saved 25 years ago, but you're not holy today in all your ways? Is that the fruit God's in you? I do not think so. Let that be a warning to all of us. So Christ, our salvation, Yeshua, did his part perfectly. Now we must do our part in this blood covenant. Israel always had to do their part. Noah had to do his part. Abraham had to do his part. We have to do our part. And before you're thinking, oh, he's teaching works, we cannot save ourselves by works. I never, ever, ever teach that. You know why? You need Christ's perfect righteousness. You could be perfect today until you die. You already ruined your perfect righteousness. Anybody says that we're working our way to heaven is absolutely foolish. We need a perfect cleansing, a perfect righteousness to get to heaven. That's Yeshua, our salvation. But we can't claim it and claim we're of him, claim he's going to save us and spare us if we keep living in willful sin, rebellion, outside of the blood covenant that protects us. You see what I'm saying? It's like a husband cheating on his wife, trying to convince everybody, but I really love her and cherish her, as he's cheating on his wife. Doesn't matter. People say, well, cheating's a big thing. What if he slaps her? What if you found out that Brother James slaps Sister Debbie around all the time? You going to believe that I love her? No, you're going to call me a hypocrite. What if you keep sinning, even a small sin against God? What if I just go out and tell lies about Sister Debbie? Yeah. I go out and I tell lies about her all the time to make her look bad. It's just a lie. You're going to say, wow, I don't think you love your wife. That's what you're going to say. Well, what if you keep lies like pagan Easter, Christmas? Oh, I can dress any way I want and God doesn't care. These are all lies. Satan's the father of lies and God hates all lies. Revelation 22 says, no one will inherit the kingdom of God who keeps lies. So again, I want to assure you, Christ did his part perfectly. We can trust in our salvation, Yeshua, Jesus, but we must do our part in his covenant. We can't save ourselves, as I said, but we also can't live outside of Jesus, live in willful sin. That sin you know is sin and you keep doing it. That's what willful sin is. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. If we willfully sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Oh, that is a stark warning. Modern pastors won't tell you this truth. They twist this scripture verse. They say it doesn't mean believers. Go read it in context. I've got teachings on it. It's a warning to believers. They want to fill up buildings. They want to tickle your ears, but they don't tell you the truth. You better leave all your sin or the wrath of God's going to be upon you, because it's not the fruit that you're walking in this covenant Savior, is it? Next, I want to look at, I talked about an example of this word saved, and it doesn't mean saved for all eternity, or it doesn't mean no chance of being lost. Matthew 8:25. I'm doing a teaching series through Matthew, and I just covered this one. And his disciples came to him, awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. All right, same word, sozo. In the context here, they want to be saved from drowning, right? They were fearful. Same word. Now, Jesus did calm the sea and save them, from drowning. But you know what? It's not a one-time salvation from drowning, is it? No. They have to now walk and abide and be wise and be smart and make sure they don't drown themselves somewhere on a ship out in ocean somewhere there being some tempest and storm. So you see my point. That word saved doesn't mean it's a one-time thing guaranteed. It can mean a thing today, and we're going to get to that. It can mean today you're saved and protected, and we'll get to that. So to be saved, it has conditions. God does not have unconditional covenants. He has conditions. If we meet the conditions that he's laid out in the covenant by faith and by the gospel I preach to you, the covenant goes on and you are safe in that covenant, like a marriage. If you get married, you're faithful to your wife or husband, he's faithful or she's faithful to you, you have a covenant, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. What happens if one of them leaves the covenant condition? Turmoil, hurt, sin, destruction to the marriage, right? You're not married one time. You got to walk it out every day. You're not saved one time. You got to walk it out in Christ. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses here. Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, they all taught and warned of enduring in salvation. Not I got saved one day and I'm good to go. Not once saved, always saved. Matthew 10:22. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Saved. Future tense. Endure. Walking in holiness and obedience. Faith and works. 1 Corinthians 15:2. Brother Apostle Paul. Which ye also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, lest you believed in vain. Hey, you mean you can believe at one time, be trusting in Christ, you can say I got saved, but Paul, he seems to allude to, you can believe in vain by turning back, falling away. Yeah, that's Holy Spirit inspired Apostle Paul. How about Brother James 5:20? Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Go read this in context. The verse before, it's talking about the brethren. The whole context is about the brethren. You can save a soul from death. Hey, that means if you are in Christ and you live in sin, you're in danger of death. How about Brother Peter? 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, oh, this hurts, the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. Hey, it can't be any clearer. Brother James used to be a partying, rowdy, fighting drunk. If I return to that willfully, Peter's talking about me. Yeah, that's not the fruit that I'm abiding in Christ, in the ark, under the umbrella, is it? That's that I'm loving God? No, I'm loving myself. I'm an idolater if I turn to willful sin to please myself. And so would you be. So the world's culture, America, but I see other cultures in the world. I talk to people all over the world. It's corrupt. Why? Well, the churchianity systems of these, you know, established nations that I have a Christian influence, they teach you that you can live in sin. You don't have to stop your sin. Everybody's going to sin. God's taking care of it in Jesus. And you can still say, I got saved one time when I was 7. Met a guy the other day. He's 57. Said he was saved when he was 7. He's been living in the world and corruption, sin, and worldliness. He believes he's going to heaven because he raised his hand at a youth camp and got baptized. Now, one Bible verse teaches this when we rightly divide the complete Word of God. Go to don'tperish.com, go to my teaching blog, see my once saved, always saved teachings. I got a whole bunch of them loaded with scripture that warn you about you're not saved one time. You must walk in this salvation. Jesus, Yeshua, He is salvation. So after you read those verses and the many more that I ask you to go study up, I want to ask you, is it biblical to say, I got saved, like it's a done deal? Or is it biblical to say, I'm saved by Christ, and I have the hope of salvation in Him if I cling to Him and walk in Him daily in endurance? The confusion only comes because of modern pastors, TV, internet, preachers, radio. They say, you get saved, you never can be lost, you're good to go. But the Bible does not teach that anywhere. In whole, they can cherry pick verses out, but you never study cherry picking verses. You study good exegesis, not eisegesis. I've got an article on that too. No, you must come to Christ, who is our salvation, through a saving faith, must repent and be born again by His Spirit. The fruit you are born of God is you hate sin. Psalm 119:104, you hate all sin, all false ways. You don't live in it willfully. You don't walk in it. And then you have to endure in that faith to prove that you are of Him and He's at work in you, clinging to the life rope, Jesus Christ, our salvation, enduring to the end, as Jesus said, as Paul said. When we sin, we have to repent, and then He will wash us. John says this, 1 John 1:6 and 7. I want to be clear. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in your walk, but it means when you know you've sinned, and it's a willful sin that you know of, you must repent and cleanse yourself in Christ of it. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that would be sin. We lie and do not the truth. We do not the truth. James says, be a doer, not just a hearer. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. Do you notice that? He cleanses us from all sin as we're walking in the light. Faith and works. Yeah, it's all over the scriptures. So saints and seekers, what it comes down to is a proper understanding of biblical salvation, and you will have a great understanding of faith and works, fruit to salvation. It's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. Go read Hebrews 11. By faith, it names Bible men and women who had faith, then they obeyed. Faith, then they obeyed. You won't see one example of a saint of God that obeyed, or excuse me, had faith, then they just willfully didn't obey and they never repented and they were fine. No, it shows us they sinned. Noah got drunk. He had to turn from that. Paul, before he was converted, was a murderer. He had to turn from that. David fell into murder and fornication, adultery. He had to turn from that. So there's hope, but we must turn and repent to be cleansed, as John just told us. And this really dangerous mindset that goes all over. Faith alone, grace alone, you're saved by it. I challenge anyone to find me one verse that says faith alone, grace alone, anywhere in the Holy Word of God. You won't find it. Ephesians 2 says you're saved by grace through faith. But we read the rest of the scriptures, it is not alone. Like getting married on Saturday is not alone. Then comes love, faithfulness, care, kindness, compassion, enduring in the marriage, right? It's not alone. Now one scripture teaches that it's alone. I got articles on that too. Holy obedience works, backing up our salvation. James says it, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. And Jesus, our salvation, Yeshua, by His Spirit, will not leave you in any willful sin. Would you leave your child that you love in anything that was not good for them? And just let them do it. Yeah, they're doing it. Maybe they start eating bad food and it's going to lead to total destruction of their health. You're just going to leave them in that? No. You're going to tell them about it. You're going to instruct them. You're going to call them to leave it. You're going to teach them a better way. God's not going to leave us in sin, folks. Don't be deceived. So people will ask me as I round this out here, did I lose my salvation as I willfully sinned all those years after I claimed I got saved at that Baptist revival by raising my hand? Well, again, it's usually some religious activity in church or something emotional that happened to them. Here's what I'll tell you. I can't answer that. That's between you and God. I don't know when you were born again, if you were born again. I don't know what level of sin you got to. I don't know that. But I will warn you. I'll warn you and I'll say this. Go examine yourself and examine the fruit of your life. Jesus said we know a tree by its fruit. If you died, or if I died, while my fruit was pride, vanity, false tradition, sinful, worldly, rebellious nature against a holy God, does that show that you are a branch of the Most High King? I don't think so. That wouldn't be true for me. It wouldn't be true for you. You're living like the son of the devil, living in any willful sin. Jesus says he's a murderer and the truth is not in him. So I'd encourage you, start by reading the prodigal son in Luke 15. Let me give you one verse. Luke 15:32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and he was lost, he is found. So people always ask me, can you be born again, 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 again? I don't answer that. I don't know if you ever were born again. But here's what I know. You can be alive in Christ. You can turn into sin and rebellion and be dead in your sin. You got to repent. The Bible says he's alive once again. Absolutely. You can be in a marriage You can walk outside of your marriage and destroy it. You got to repent and come back and see if your partner will forgive you. Restore your covenant once again. Israel did it to God. We see examples of it all over the scriptures. You don't just walk in one way and you're guaranteed it. How prideful to think that you can live any way you want and be in this holy covenant with the Savior. Nope. You can't claim you got saved for heaven guaranteed one time as you go back against the Word of God, live in willful sin over and over, never seek for more truth, never go on to holiness. Don't grow up and leave the world's culture and churchianity, but live in sin willfully on and on. No. Again, that's like getting married and continuing to run with others. Who would take you serious? No one. It makes God's word a lie, and it makes your claimed faith, your love of God and salvation, Yeshua, makes a mockery of God's grace, doesn't it? We trample it. Go read Hebrews 6. Not good. Let me encourage you. Our salvation, Jesus, Yeshua, is a covenantal God. He made a covenant with Adam and Eve in a way. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Israel. He has a covenant with us today. He's a covenantal God. And here's what a covenant does. It calls you to walk on a journey, a narrow road. Paul talks about it's a race. We'll get to that in a minute. We all must walk it out daily in obedience and holiness to claim what we believe. Like a marriage, like a job, like a citizenship. You got to walk it out and obey their laws, or they'll throw you in jail and throw you out. Hey, we got to walk in God's ways. He's our king. His kingdom is the kingdom of God in our hearts right now. We're his subjects, and his laws, the word of God, is his rules. There's your kingdom. There's your king. We must walk in it. You're not frozen in one place, a place where I got saved once, guaranteed salvation, and I'm not really moving very far. But no, you're on a narrow path to eternal life. Jesus said, strive on it. Jesus said, few are going to make it because the cost is great. There's another one. And it has ditches, sin, false ways, the culture on both sides. And when you're walking, following Yeshua, your Savior, you're proving your saving faith as you're producing much fruit, he says in John 15, works of holiness, obedience, and endurance to get to this place of salvation. It is not a done deal yet. It's not. Your marriage isn't a done deal. Salvation's not a done deal. So are you in the ark of Christ today via the gospel? Is it a saving faith that displays out in your growing in holiness and obedience and striving to endure? That's the proof you're born of him. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself. Examine yourself. And Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, talking about the race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run that you may obtain faith with works. And every man, faith with works, as was my words. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Yeah, right, like a little medal or something like the Olympics. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body, I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you see Paul striving on the narrow road there? Do you see a saving faith producing holiness, obedience, and endurance? Or do you see Paul going, yeah, I got saved on that Damascus road that one time, and well, I'm still doing a bunch of sin and living with the Pharisees and their hypocrisy and kind of doing my own thing. I got saved on the Damascus road. Who would believe Apostle Paul in a one-time salvation versus a life lived out in holiness and obedience? Amen. Last note, I want to be clear for all my enemies and haters. You can know today that you have salvation. I want to be clear on that. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, our salvation, Yeshua, and you're not keeping willful sin and rebellion, and if you die today, you've been cleansed in his blood, you have eternal life. Glory to God. What a promise, right? 1 John 5:13. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So that's our great hope. John also said you're walking in the truth as proof that you have it. Got to put other scriptures with other scriptures. Don't just pull them out. But we must walk in it every day faithfully, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2. Why do you think Paul said that? If it's a one-time done deal, hey, work it out with fear and trembling, because you can lose it. You can walk away from it. Satan can come and stumble you. Your flesh can get you. Yeah, the culture can sweep you away. The roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, can come and get you. And I wouldn't love you if I didn't warn you about the goodness of God. Yeah, I told it to you in the gospel, and you can have the hope of it, and you can walk in it, and Christ Yeshua, our salvation. But what about the severity? Romans 11, you can read about the goodness and severity, but let me leave you with this verse. Colossians 1, 22 and 23. In the body of his flesh through the death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. Right there, that's Christ is. Christ is our salvation, right? Then he says this in verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I would offer up to you, based on all these scriptures and many, many more you can find, you should not talk about getting saved one time in the past. A biblical proper stance is we are saved by Christ, continuing in Messiah, Yeshua, salvation, and that you came to the saving faith in Christ via the gospel. And you now have the hope of salvation to come in Christ, but you must walk in it obediently, faithfully, enduring, holiness, obedience, proving you're of him daily for his glory. And one day, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Hey, go read Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents. What happened to the lazy slugger servant that didn't do what he should have been doing for his master? You know, he got told, well, you were my master once, or you were my servant once, so you're in? No. He got bound and thrown in outer darkness. Go read about that. That's the goodness and the severity of God. Walk in his goodness. Obey him. Cling to our salvation, which is Jesus. It's not work salvation. You're working for the one who has made a way for salvation. Jesus said his sheep hear his voice and follow him. John 10, following is obeying. Hebrews 5, 9, and enduring and overcoming unto salvation. Revelation 3:12. Saved is not a final destination, okay, on this earth. Saved is a final destination after death. All right? It is a journey. It is a race. It is a walk of faith and obedience and holiness, striving to leave sin for God's glory. Don't think of it as one place you once sat. Think of it as a narrow road, salvation, following Jesus. And he's going to take you there if you follow until the end. Hey, I hope that blessed you today. I hope I framed that out. I was all over the place on some of the concepts, but there's so much to it, and I still went a long time. This is longer than my normal teaching, but this is needed. Do not believe you just got saved once. Have fear. If you said you placed your faith in Christ and then you went and lived in a bunch of sin, praise God you didn't die while you were in all that sin. That was me for a long time, before I was born again. But if you are born again, now cling to the Word, cling to the Spirit. Hey, if you know holy, godly saints with evidence of him, cling to them, encourage them. They'll encourage you. Don't live in willful sin. Don't tempt God. Don't find out how far you can go in sin before you lose your salvation. Ananias and Sapphira, last thing, Acts 5, killed over one lie. Yeah, God won't be deceived or mocked. Hey, we love you all. Hope this blessed you. Check don'tperish.com. Check the teaching blog. Check the daily edification tab. Sisters blogs, audios, articles, video, street preaching video. Out preaching Christ crucified. Warning people, salvation is not a place to sit in. It's a glorious Savior to follow and obey. May God be praised.